This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of The Jealousy Cure. Learn to trust, overcome possessiveness, and save your relationship. By Robert L. Leahy. Performed by Fred Stella.
Forward. Ever since Freud began to explore the psychological implications of Darwin's discoveries, we have been forced to recognize that evolution set us up with some rather unpleasant dark sides. The history of humanity can be seen as a constant struggle between our capacity for violence and our potential for compassion. At the root of our most basic motivations is the issue of survival and reproduction of our genes. Interpersonal competition is also in that mix, whether for resources or access to sexual reproductive opportunities. Out of these central conflicts arise a range of motivational processes, from narcissistic and psychopathic self-focused competitiveness to tribalism, prejudice, envy, and, the subject of this book, jealousy. In pioneering work over many years, Dr. Robert Leahy has sought to marry an in-depth understanding of the evolutionary and social origins of our darker sides with our capacity to become more mindful of them and, ultimately, to take responsibility for them. As we become more aware of what drives us, we can become more invested in holding ourselves accountable for our behavior. This is clearly one of the core aims of this exceptional and important book. Dr. Leahy shows us clearly how jealousy overlaps with and differs from envy. Envy occurs when we feel somebody or some group has more than we do, and we want what they have. Hostile forms of envy can lead us to destroy what others have, while beneficent forms of envy can lead us to imitate others and strive to become better. Jealousy, on the other hand, involves the competition among three or more people for the attention and positive dispositions of at least one of them. It is typically linked to sexual relationships, but not always so. Jealousy and envy overlap in their tendency to motivate hostile behavior toward their object, even to the point of wanting to harm and destroy others. Hence the famous vow, "If I can't have it, nobody will." The roots of jealousy can be seen in many other species, particularly in the behaviors called mate guarding, where individuals, mostly but not always males, try to both prevent others' access to those they are guarding and induce fear in those guarded. Indeed, the induction of fear is very common as a jealous tactic. In the Old Testament, at least, God was regarded as a jealous God, capable of bringing untold miseries on those who would defect or disobey. The motto, "Don't leave or else," underpins the threats of the jealous one. It's not difficult to see that jealousy can be one of the greatest destroyers of compassionate relations. In the place of love, jealousy instills anger. Jealousy can power all kinds of relational conflicts, from passive aggression all the way through to domestic violence and murder. Jealousy often sits behind stalking behavior, and it can motivate vengeance when the object of one's desires chooses another. In the end, jealousy is often the thing that drives away the person one most desires. And like many emotions in the anger family, jealousy also has a habit of justifying itself. In The Jealousy Cure, Dr. Leahy brings his considerable experience as a clinician to this oft-neglected personal and relational tragedy. He provides deep insights into jealousy's source as well as what we can do about it. If you suffer from problems of jealousy, this book will help you recognize that you are far from alone, that you are experiencing the urges and pain of jealousy precisely because the human brain, your brain, has made it possible. Dr. Leahy addresses with great sensitivity not only those who suffer from jealousy, but also those who are on the receiving end. Tragically, just as those who experience jealousy perpetrate hostile behaviors, those on the receiving end often feel ashamed of what is happening. They may try to hide the reality, even from themselves, and not reach out for help. Indeed, many victims of jealous undermining or violence can be too ashamed and frightened to acknowledge the kind of relationship they are caught in. This book may help you to see whether you are a victim of a jealous relationship and may help you determine whether you might benefit from professional help. The Jealousy Cure is immensely valuable for the clarity of its insights into the nature and patterns of jealousy. Especially important is the guidance on our capacity to release ourselves from shame over our experiences with jealousy. Being honest with ourselves is an important first step in taking responsibility for our behavior. We can't always stop what arises in our mind, but we can take responsibility for our actions and their consequences. Ultimately, we are short-lived, biologically determined beings. From the day we are born to the day we die, our urges and desires follow the dictates of a mind that evolved over millions of years. And even when our genes push us to grasp and control those we love, ultimately, it is in letting go of those urges that we can finally find peace and connection. This is a deeply insightful and important book that will help you understand your jealousy and find its antidotes. You'll learn how to be honest with yourself and take the leap of courage needed to soothe your jealous mind. Dr. Leahy's writing is sensitive, accessible, and compassionate. Ultimately, conquering jealousy means freeing ourselves from an immensely painful and destructive human experience. Here is an outstanding step-by-step guide on that journey. Paul Gilbert, Ph.D., OBE. Introduction. Phyllis is usually a fun person to be around. Her laughter is infectious. She is intelligent, has a wonderful sense of humor, and shows a great deal of kindness toward almost everyone. She is attractive, creative, and has lots of friends. But Phyllis is plagued by jealous feelings about her boyfriend Michael, feelings that overwhelm her at times, making her nauseated, anxious, and furious. She gets anxious when he is at parties and she worries about his friendship with his ex-girlfriend. When he has dinner with his ex-girlfriend, whom Michael describes as only a friend, Phyllis goes into a rage. She thinks there is something wrong with her because she just can't get the jealousy out of her mind. "I think I am going crazy," she tells me as she looks down at the floor, avoiding eye contact. Consider Steve. He didn't feel jealous when he first started dating Rachel, but now he does. He checks her Facebook page and tries to access her phone, looking for signs that she is losing interest in him. He keeps wondering, is she seeing someone else? Who is that guy who friended her on Facebook? Is she still looking? Steve can't concentrate on work, is drinking more, and doesn't want to see his friends because he is so miserable. He tells me, "I really don't have a solid reason to think that Rachel is cheating, but I don't know for sure. I can't stand the anxiety. I sometimes think that I would feel better if I just ended the relationship so I wouldn't have to worry anymore." Almost everyone has felt jealousy at some point, or had jealous thoughts about a spouse, intimate partner, friend, sibling, or other family member. As you'll see in this book, jealousy is normal, as human as love and fear. It's a universal emotion that we find among people in different cultures, children, and even animals. We experience it because we feel connected to someone in a special way. So if that bond is at risk, we can feel threatened or insulted. We are seldom jealous about superficial relationships, so jealousy may be a signal that someone matters. But when it takes over, like Phyllis and Steve, we struggle to get it out of our minds, and we may do things that we regret. jealousy can create real problems for us. I have written 25 books about psychology, addressing worry, anxiety, depression, and the difficulty of changing behavior, from the cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, approach. And I appreciate the wide range of gifted therapists who have also written books. So it struck me as odd that there was no book offering a CBT perspective to people struggling with jealousy in their lives. This was especially strange because jealousy involves many issues that we research and have effectively treated, including worry, rumination, self-criticism, anger, and conflict resolution. A book on it was overdue. CBT has become the most highly valued treatment throughout the world for depression and anxiety, among many other problems that may cause you to struggle. It focuses on your current thoughts, behavior, and interactions with people to offer self-help tools so you can better cope with difficulties. In this book, I draw from a wide range of powerful techniques and conceptualizations that can help you cope with this often difficult and overwhelming emotion. My hope is to give you new tools that you can use today to put jealousy in perspective so that it does not control your life. I have seen good people struggle with jealousy. They love their partners and want to trust and grow together. But they may escalate into uncontrollable anxiety and anger, which often lead to guilt and shame afterward. One woman cried with shame and fear because she was losing control and ruining her relationship. A man hoped that the woman he was with would become her life partner, but his jealousy led him to interrogate her, accuse her, and stalk her on social media. Another man loved his wife and three children, but was so overwhelmed by jealous feelings that he thought it would be better to kill himself. Fortunately, he didn't and was able to rescue his marriage from the jealousy that had overtaken it. This is a tragic emotion because jealousy comes from a combination of intense love and intense fear. The actions that result can jeopardize the very relationship that you want to protect. And your jealous thoughts, emotions, and behavior are accompanied by shame and guilt. If you struggle with jealousy, you may have doubted your own sanity. Even doubted your right to have any jealous feelings at all. Our culture sometimes gives us the message that painful and difficult emotions are not allowed, and if you have them, there is something terribly wrong with you. But I want you to know that jealousy can be a part of being human, having intimacy, and engaging in intense relationships. People often get advice from well-meaning friends or even therapists that won't help and may actually make things worse. Here are some of the things you may have heard, and also the reasons why they aren't accurate or helpful. You must have low self-esteem. The reality is that jealousy can also be a result of high self-esteem. Perhaps you won't let people treat you unfairly. It's not this simple. You have to get your mind off this. Trying not to think of jealousy will lead the jealous thoughts to bounce back. We must learn to accept the thoughts we have without being ruled by them. Try to think positively. This often makes people feel worse because if this is the best advice that you can get, it will seem hopeless. Why are you punishing yourself? This misses the point entirely. Because jealousy is an attempt to protect yourself from betrayal. You have no right to feel jealous. Everyone has a right to whatever feelings and thoughts that he or she has. Invalidating you this way will only make you feel more threatened by rejection. I haven't done anything wrong. That may be true, but when the person who is the focus of your jealousy says this, it might lead you to work harder at finding out what seems hidden. You should just trust me. Being ordered to trust someone seldom works because it doesn't validate your struggle or the reasons why you feel the way you do. You are screwed up. This only adds to fears of rejection and abandonment, which increase the likelihood of jealousy. While any of these statements might be valid, none helps, because they are not relevant to the way you feel and do not help you cope with those feelings. Because jealousy is based on a feeling that a relationship is threatened, offering criticism, dismissal, or ridicule will only make you feel worse about yourself and even more jealous. So how can you get a handle on your jealousy in a way that actually helps? Showing you how is one of my goals in this book. I want to help you understand what jealousy is, because it is a passionate emotion that includes many other emotions that trouble us, including anger, anxiety, helplessness, resentment, and hopelessness. I also want to help you realize that you are not alone in your feelings. Another goal is to look at the choices you make, which can either sabotage your relationship or save it. Once you feel jealous, once you have the intense feeling that someone cannot be trusted, what do you do next? Jealous thoughts and feelings lead to some common patterns of reaction and behavior, such as interrogating, looking for clues of betrayal, trying to control someone, inflicting punishments, worrying obsessively over a possible betrayal, dreading what you fear will happen if you are betrayed. But jealous thoughts and feelings don't always have to lead to jealous behavior. You can make a choice about what you actually do, and there are better ways to respond. This book teaches you what to do with those thoughts and feelings. Even if you can't get jealousy out of your mind completely, you can act in ways that keep it from taking over and wrecking your well-being and your relationships. This book is not meant to lecture you on the idea that you have no right to your jealous feelings, or that you are irrational, or that you should just get over it. No, when jealousy has justification, it may be time to get assertive, problem-solve with your partner, and set some limits. Jealous triggers may lead the two of you to become clearer about your commitment to each other, develop some guidelines, and establish mutual understanding, all pathways to building trust. Sometimes jealousy can tell us about what our relationship needs more of, whether it's commitment, honesty, transparency, or choice. Your jealous feelings don't mean that something terrible is about to happen. It helps to look at reality, not just your thoughts and feelings. Emotions are not always accurate predictors of reality. Because jealousy is such a passionate and overwhelming emotion, standing back and getting some distance from it may seem impossible. But if you slow down your thinking, step aside from your feelings for a few moments, and reflect on what you are telling yourself, maybe things can change. Maybe you don't have to be hijacked by thoughts and feelings. If you are the object of a partner's jealousy, this book can help you understand what your partner is going through. It can help you see why dismissive responses will never help. As the object of jealousy, you know how hard it is to feel accused and distrusted in the context of your intimate relationship. You can both learn better ways of coping with these painful feelings. This book will guide you and your partner to work together to find common understanding and guidelines. Jealousy will not go away simply because you want it to. In fact, it may be something that both of you can learn to accept, live with, and even respect, while decreasing the negative behaviors and arguments that result from it. The ultimate goal of this book is to help you see that because jealousy is not inherently bad and is a part of human nature, it is not blameworthy or something to be ashamed about. It can actually be useful by helping you discover areas in your relationship that need attention. I've helped hundreds of clients understand their jealousy and find freedom from the misery it can bring. Read on and see how you can find freedom too. Part 1. About the Passion of Jealousy. Chapter 1. The Evolution of Competitive Emotions. Even the most rational and logical person can feel overwhelmed by jealousy and hijacked by the anger, anxiety, and helplessness that it entails. Evolutionary psychologist David Buss recalls that when he was in college, he believed that if a girlfriend wished to have sex with other people, then he had no right to protest. He didn't own her body. She should feel free to do whatever she wished to do. But when he got a girlfriend, he changed his mind. He is not alone. Almost everyone feels the same way. Of all the emotions we can experience, jealousy is perhaps the most difficult one to deal with, and the most dangerous. Jealousy is passion directed against the threat of betrayal, or the threat of abandonment. It's anger at someone we view as an intruder or a competitor. It's resentment at the person who we fear might abuse our trust. It is visceral, fundamental, and sometimes violent. We can feel overwhelmed, carried away, and controlled by jealousy. Our heart and mind get hijacked, and we feel lost in anxiety and helplessness. What is jealousy? Jealousy occurs when we fear that our special relationship is threatened. We fear that our partner or friend will lose interest in us and form a closer relationship with someone else. We feel threatened by their attention to this person. Jealousy does not occur in a vacuum. It is actually about three people. It is the third person who threatens our special relationship. We can be jealous of our lover, friends, family members, and co-workers. We can, if we are unfortunate, perceive threats from almost anyone who enters our social sphere. We fear that things may unravel rapidly, and that we will be humiliated, marginalized, and abandoned. We often confuse jealousy with envy. Envy occurs when we believe that someone has achieved an advantage over us, sometimes unfairly, and we resent their success because we think it reflects poorly on us. Their success is our failure. We are envious of people who compete in an area that we value. If it's business, we envy someone who is making more money or who gets promoted instead of us. If it's academics, we envy someone who gets a grant or publishes an article. Envy is about comparison. Jealousy is about the threat to a relationship. Although jealousy and envy are different emotions, we often feel both of them about the same person because both are about our sense that we are in competition with others and that we might lose. I will be focusing on jealousy in this book. How we experience jealousy. Jealousy is not a single emotion. It's a mix of many powerful, confusing feelings, such as anger, anxiety, dread, confusion, excitement, helplessness, hopelessness, and sadness. In fact, someone in a romantic relationship can feel jealous about perceived infidelity while also feeling sexually aroused about the fantasy of that infidelity. We get so confused because we tend to believe that we should only have one feeling at a time. Plus, there's love in the mix. The painful negative feelings can blend with our positive feelings of love. We want to feel just one way, either positive or negative. But we have both kinds of feelings, often coming in waves, often overwhelming us. We say that we feel jealous, but our jealousy also involves a wide range of types of thoughts. We think, he is interested in someone else, or she will leave me, or my partner should never find anyone else attractive. We have thoughts about what we should know. I need to know exactly what is going on. And if we don't know what's going on, we have thoughts about that. What I don't know will hurt me. We often take action on our jealousy by seeking reassurance and asking pointed questions. We might follow her, spy on him, read her email and text messages, seduce him, cajole her, check his GPS in the car, smell her perfume, go through his suitcase, ask other people what they know, and threaten our partner. We yell, interrogate, pout, withdraw. We cling or we avoid. So jealousy is not just a feeling. It is a host of emotions, sensations, thoughts, behaviors, questions, and strategies to control the other person. Jealousy is driven by the insatiable desire to know for sure what is going on, which leads us to imagine all the terrible things that we do not know, but that could be true. We seek to know and control, and we often treat our thoughts, fantasies, and feelings as if they are the very reality that we fear. But feelings are not facts. Simply having a jealous feeling or thought is not the main problem. The problems come with all the behaviors and control strategies that follow. It's the response that gets us in trouble. A chain reaction of anxiety can unravel so quickly that we are completely surprised by what we are saying and doing. In other words, it's one thing to feel jealous, and it's another thing to act on it. We will explore this in more detail later. First, for you to get more control over jealous reactions, it's helpful to understand jealousy better, both your own and jealousy in general. Here's the big picture. Looking to evolution. Darwin's great insight helped us realize that the history of all species is the struggle for survival. Our ancestors were threatened by starvation, attacked by strangers, murder by members of their own tribe or community, rape and infanticide. Life was a struggle from birth, and the struggle was often against each other. We can think of many qualities that seem essential to human nature: attachment to infants, defense against threats, fear of heights, an infant's fear of strangers, public speaking anxiety, forming strong attachments to a partner and our children, and recognize that each of them is found in many other species because each contributes to survival. Survival is about winning against the competition. There is competition between siblings, colleagues, and sexual suitors. Jealousy is a primordial recognition of these threats. It is a strategy that evolved to protect us. But in our world today, it may destroy a marriage, drive away friends, and alienate brothers and sisters. Does this mean jealousy is justified and that there is nothing we can do to control it? Absolutely not. Knowing that jealousy has roots in our evolution does not justify jealous rage, suspicion, or retaliation. We can be driven by fears and anxieties that were useful 100,000 years ago, but are now dysfunctional. What worked in the past may fail us today. Understanding the evolutionary model can help us understand why the passion of jealousy is so powerful, so intensely emotional. But like our fears of heights, water, dogs, being in closed spaces, or walking in an open field, the fears that fuel jealousy have outlived their usefulness. The environment relevant to the evolutionary perspective is not our cities, suburbs, and towns in the 21st century. Evolution does not justify jealousy. It only helps us understand why it is so universal and powerful. We didn't choose to have the brain that evolved with these fears. In the long-gone days of our ancient ancestors, who were continually threatened, life was about survival, with survival of genes being most important. A person may have died in a fight, but if his genes survived, then he passed the evolutionary fitness test, as his traits continued into the next generation. Two things are essential for evolutionary fitness: procreation and the survival of offspring. Someone can procreate and have many babies, but if they all die, then fitness dies with them. If no one takes care of the babies, then the genes will not survive. This is where jealousy comes in. The evolution of jealousy. Evolution helps us understand the passion and zeal behind jealousy, the blind rage that hijacks us so quickly that we are later astounded at our own feelings and actions. The terrifying fear that our partner will mate with someone else. The ways we can detect deception. The ability to deceive others. We are driven by instinctive passions that protected our ancestors for hundreds of thousands of years. But these protections can defeat our current interests. There are two relevant evolutionary theories: parental investment theory and competition for limited resources. Let's take a look at them. Parental investment theory. This theory proposes that we are going to be more committed in sharing resources and taking care of the young if we have a high genetic investment in the other person's survival. We are more likely to protect and support individuals who share genes, such as our biological children, siblings, and close relatives. We are less likely to protect and support biologically unrelated individuals. In this way, jealousy is a protective strategy. If a man is uncertain of the paternity of his partner's offspring, he may end up taking care of a stranger's genes, thereby sacrificing the possibility of passing on his genes. Because a woman always knows that infants carry her genes, her jealousy is less determined by paternity or sexual behavior, and more influenced by her concern for the protection and resources that a male partner contributes. A woman will want to ensure that she receives protection and support from her male partner, because this increases the survival of offspring. Both will defend against competitors. Males and females become jealous when their genetic investment is threatened. Consistent with this theory, research shows that men are more likely to feel jealous over perceived sexual infidelity because it calls paternity into question. Women are more likely to experience jealousy when they perceive emotional closeness between a partner and another woman, because this suggests that resources and protection will be provided to someone else. While men and women can have both kinds of jealous feelings, men are more likely to express sexual jealousy, while women are more likely to express attachment jealousy. If jealousy has an evolutionary basis, we should find it in other cultures, and we do. In fact, the gender difference, males being more concerned with sexual infidelity and females with emotional infidelity, has been found in the United States, Germany, the Netherlands, and China. At the same time, these evolutionary predispositions are affected by cultural differences. In cultures where honor is emphasized, jealousy is much stronger in males. We are all too familiar with honor killings in countries like Pakistan or Bangladesh. And the dishonor of infidelity can cause a woman who was raped to marry the rapist or be stoned to death. Competition for limited resources. The second evolutionary theory of jealousy stresses competition for resources. This helps us understand jealousy in infants and jealousy between siblings. Because siblings can be in competition with each other for food and protection from their parents, jealousy can arise and often does. Infants can be jealous of attention that their mother directs toward another baby. In a study of 6-month-old infants, researchers found that babies show signs of distress and attempt to attract the mother's attention more when the mother interacts with another baby than when she plays with a non-human object. A real baby is more of a threat than an inanimate object. 4-year-old Gary was both excited and apprehensive about his new sister Phyllis. But as she grew, he felt there was a threat to his special relationship with Mom and Dad. He alternated between playing with Phyllis and grabbing things from her, and even began to regress to more babyish behavior. Why would siblings be in competition with one another? Food resources were scarce during most of the evolution of our species. Siblings had to compete for food, attention, and protection. Some species overproduce offspring, and as a result, offspring can die from starvation. This overproduction of offspring might be viewed as a strategy to ensure that some of them survive. But it leads to competition among siblings, sometimes to the death. Pigs often produce more offspring in a litter than the number of teats available to feed them. Piglets that are not strong and competitive will die. Evolutionary theorists describe this tendency to overproduce offspring as warehousing. As grim as this may sound, it points to the fundamental nature of jealousy in a competitive world. Sibling rivalry makes sense. Similarly, in a world of scarcity, being excluded from friendships and alliances could also be detrimental. If my prehistoric ancestors were marginalized by their peers in the tribe, then they were less likely to enjoy the benefits of a hunt. And they would have died from starvation, which means that I wouldn't be here. Jealousy is common across species. When owners of pets described what they perceived as jealousy in their pets, the following rank was observed. Dogs, 81%. Horses, 79%. Cats, 66%. Birds, 67%. And rats, 47%. Dogs express jealousy toward other dogs and will growl, stalk, and place themselves between their human master and other dogs. I know that our two male cats, Danny and Frankie, started with a wonderful relationship when we got Frankie at 4 weeks of age. They played and slept together. They groomed each other. However, as Frankie grew to adulthood and became a large alpha cat, he was quite jealous of any attention given to Danny, which was made clear through his aggressive behavior. Just as we humans are jealous, so are our pets. We share the two common evolutionary issues behind jealousy. A historical perspective. Stories of jealousy are older than the written word. Cain's jealousy of Abel taints humanity's beginnings in Genesis. It also marks the nature of the Judeo-Christian God's relationship with his people, enshrined in the first commandment and proclaimed in the book of Exodus. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Jealousy was central to Greek mythology and literature. The goddess Hera was jealous about the many other women who attracted the attention of her husband Zeus. When Jason betrayed his wife Medea, she murdered their children in revenge. Helen's betrayal of her husband Menelaus sparked the Trojan War. In medieval Europe, jealousy was viewed as a necessary, even positive emotion that was linked to honor. The 12th century author Andreas Capellanus described the importance of intensity in love and jealousy in his book, The Art of Courtly Love. He wrote, "Love cannot exist in the individual who cannot be jealous, and suspicion of the beloved generates jealousy and therefore intensifies love. For the noble knight pursuing love, it was dishonorable not to fight when provoked to jealousy." In Shakespeare's Othello, the malicious Iago tricks Othello into becoming jealous by casting doubt on the fidelity of his wife Desdemona. Othello describes his jealousy, which leads him to murder his faithful wife, as the emotion of one that loved not wisely, but too well. While his actions were horrific, they were done out of love and honor. He is, therefore, the tragic hero of the play, not the villain. In the 19th century, jealousy came to be increasingly viewed as interfering with domestic harmony. The Victorian period emphasized domestic tranquility and controlling powerful emotions. Jealousy was effectively banned because it was considered disruptive to the harmony of the Victorian family. Today in America and throughout much of Western Europe, jealousy is something we are expected to be ashamed of and to hide. Surveys indicate that Americans are more likely than people in other Western cultures to believe that their jealousy is a sign that there is something wrong with them. In a sense, jealousy went underground. No longer a badge of love and honor, it has become a symbol of inability to trust, lack of self-control, neurosis, and shame. But it definitely has not gone away, neither in popular culture nor in our lives. Popular songs like I Heard It Through the Grapevine, Every Breath You Take, Hey Jealousy, and Jealous Guy show that we are never alone with this emotion. And today, there are more venues for infidelity. Contacting strangers, downloading pornography, or having a secret rendezvous online. Each of these opportunities can make some of us more insecure, creating an overwhelming sense of uncertainty. In the new millennium, we're surrounded by insecurity-provoking media, from relentless messages about what our bodies should look like to totally unrealistic depictions of sex in pornography. It's easier to spy on each other, but not easier to know the truth about each other. If we want to feed our jealousy, there's plenty of fuel out there. Jealousy in stepfamilies. While we tend to think that jealousy happens most often in intimate relationships, it can also be a problem in any important relationships. Jealousy is often an issue in reconstituted families, in which children contend with divorced parents, step-parents, step-brothers, and step-sisters. There are 100 million Americans in a step-family relationship, and 35% of all married couple households include step-children. There is even a website in the UK for step-parents who feel competitive with or who resent their step-children. When parents divorce, and there is a new partner for mom or dad, children have feelings of betrayal, anger, anxiety, resentment. In a word, jealousy. Kara was in her 30s and married when she learned that her divorced dad had a new partner he wanted her to meet. Like many adult children of divorced parents, this new part of the family dynamic triggered resentment. How can he think I would want to meet her? He just dumped mom. He lied to me about their marriage. How can I trust him? She viewed her dad's new partner as an unwelcome interloper, a poacher who had torn the family apart. Kara felt that her special relationship with her father was over, that this new partner would replace her and her brother, and that she had to be loyal to her mother. All of this meant she had to hold on to her resentment for her dad. Jealousy at work. Job security is continually in question, as it's a rather rare thing to have. In 2012, the average tenure of a job was 4.2 years. As a consequence, there is a wide range of opportunity for jealousy. Jake gets the better assignments. Donna was promoted. I should have been too. Eric always goes out to lunch with our boss, and I'm never invited. Everyone seems to win the Excellent Service Award but me. Status in a company dynamic can depend on whom the boss favors and who gets included or excluded. Marianne often felt that her colleagues excluded her. They don't ask me out. They do things without me. She withdrew, even while complaining that the boss was not promoting her. This resentment and jealousy became a wedge between her and everyone else at work. Feeling excluded, she began to exclude herself, and things spiraled down. Jealousy gets boosted by social media. Social media gives all of us opportunities to feel that we have been snubbed, rejected, or left to fend for ourselves because others seem to enjoy the friendships and relationships that we have always wanted for ourselves. We say to ourselves, "Why wasn't I invited to that party? Is there a reason I wasn't tagged? Her life is perfect. There's so much missing from mine. If only I could afford to travel like he does." When Paul looked at Ron's Facebook posts, he noticed that Ron was with Larry, Ken, and Nancy on a boat trip, enjoying themselves, without Paul. He burned with resentment and felt publicly humiliated as he was reminded that he was left out once again. Take-home messages. There are a number of important points in this chapter that can help you understand that you are not alone. I offer this summary to bring the messages home. Jealousy is a powerful emotion that includes anxiety, anger, helplessness, hopelessness, and sadness. There is a difference between feeling jealous and acting on jealousy. You are not alone. Almost anyone can be provoked to feel jealous. Evolution built jealousy into human nature. Jealousy is a protective strategy that is based on parental investment, protecting genetic investment in offspring, and competition for resources, sibling rivalry. Male jealousy is more focused on sexual threats, while female jealousy is more focused on emotional closeness. Jealousy has a long history from ancient times to the present. Jealousy can be found in infants, children, animals, and many cultures. You can now recognize that jealousy is a part of human nature, and that its power and passion may come from instinctive responses that hijack us. This is an important foundation for you to have as you consider your own struggles with jealousy. In the next chapter, you can evaluate your own jealousy and examine how it impacts your relationships. And in the following chapters, you can look at how jealousy is related to your history of relationships, your personality, and your beliefs. The more you understand jealousy and your experience of it, the better you will be able to cope with these feelings. Chapter 2. Is jealousy a problem for you? All of us are vulnerable to feeling jealous at times. So the question to consider is, has jealousy become a problem for you? You have a right to your feelings, but it's important to take a look at how much jealousy is affecting your daily life. You can assess whether jealousy is getting in the way of your intimate relationship, friendships, family relationships, and interactions with coworkers. Do you complain, pout, ruminate, resent, avoid, or disparage family, friends, and colleagues because of your jealous feelings? Has jealousy led to relationships ending abruptly? Do you hold on to resentments for long periods of time? Have you ever complained to colleagues, and does doing this ever put your job at risk? Do you find that you can't step away from your jealous thoughts and feelings? Do they hijack you so that you feel you have no choices in your actions? Does your jealousy make you depressed? Do you sometimes feel hopeless, not only about your current relationship, but also about your ability to have a relationship without being overwhelmed by jealousy? Has your jealousy led you to say things that you later regret saying? You can make an honest assessment of your jealous thoughts, feelings, and behaviors by filling out a questionnaire. The questionnaire assesses answers to 30 questions, which are related to triggers for jealousy and how you respond to them. The Jealousy Scale. This scale assesses a range of possible responses and the frequency of your jealous feelings. The focus is on how you are experiencing and responding to events in your relationship. Your answers do not mean that you have no right to your feelings, thoughts, or behaviors. And they do not mean that your partner is completely innocent or that you have nothing to be jealous about. This scale is written to address jealousy for intimate partners and heterosexual couples. So if you are part of a gay couple, you can think about your partner or spouse. If you are not currently in a relationship, think back about past relationships. Try to answer each question as accurately as possible. Don't try to be rational, reasonable, or well-adjusted. Think about each question in terms of how you would answer it when you get upset or bothered. There are no right or wrong answers. We are interested in how you think, feel, act, and communicate when certain things happen in your relationship. Rate the following behaviors, thoughts, and feelings that you have engaged in because of your jealous thoughts and feelings. On a piece of paper, write down the number that indicates how often you engage them. Never, 0. Rarely, 1. Sometimes, 2. Often, 3. Always, 4. 1. I question my partner about his or her past relationships. 2. I get upset when I hear about his or her past relationships. 3. I compare myself with his or her past partners, and this bothers me. 4. I question my partner to find out what is going on. 5. I ask my partner whom he or she was talking to or sitting near when out without me. 6. I try to interrupt conversations my partner has with others of the opposite sex. 7. I try to check my partner's emails or texts. 8. I check my partner's phone calls or messages. 9. I check my partner's GPS to find out where he or she has been. 10. I seek out reassurance from my partner that I can trust him or her. 11. I withdraw from my partner when I am suspicious. 12. I accuse my partner of being interested in someone else. 13. I plead with my partner not to flirt with others. 14. I criticize my partner or say negative things about people I think he or she might be interested in. 15. I try to make my partner feel guilty. 16. I try to provoke my partner to get into an argument when I am jealous. 17. I try to seduce my partner to get reassurance or to feel better when I am jealous. 18. I follow my partner to find out what is going on. 19. I threaten my partner with a breakup, separation, or divorce. 20. I threaten my partner with violence. 21. I have been violent when I have been jealous. 22. I try to keep my partner from leaving or doing things. 23. I criticize myself to my partner. 24. I look for alternative partners. 25. I flirt with other people to try to make my partner jealous. 26. I don't trust my partner. 27. I worry that my partner might be unfaithful. 28. I don't like it when my partner has colleagues or friends of the opposite sex who might be attractive to him or her. 29. I get upset if my partner touches or kisses someone or dances with someone else. 30. I get upset if someone of the opposite sex seems interested in my partner. Look at your responses to the questions. Does a pattern emerge? Do you get anxious, angry, or upset when you think about your partner and other people? If you answered sometimes to 4 or more of these questions, then jealousy may be a problem in your current or past relationships. If your total score exceeds 12, you are probably experiencing significant distress at times due to jealousy. Coping with jealous feelings. The next thing to look at is how you cope with your jealous feelings. What do you actually do? This includes interrogating, checking, following, withdrawing, and other behaviors. Are you talking to your partner as if he or she needs to defend himself or herself? Are you insinuating that he or she cannot be trusted? Are you checking his or her social media, phone, email, GPS? Are you asking other people what they know? Are you pouting, withdrawing, making yourself unavailable, withholding sex? You may attempt to limit or control your partner's actions, trying to prevent him or her from meeting people you are threatened by. Do you try to convince your partner not to socialize with certain people because of your jealousy? Do you tell your partner that you need to accompany him or her when socializing? Do you tell your partner that he or she must check in with you frequently when not around you? Do you ask other people to report on your partner? Jealousy may lead you to dwell on the past or what is going on currently in your mind. It can lead you to worry about the future, what your partner might do, or how you would cope without him or her. Consider how jealousy leads you to think about experiences with colleagues, friends, and family members. Do you ruminate about your partner's past relationships, Do you frequently compare yourself to his or her past partners? Do you feel worse about your current relationship or yourself when you think about your partner's past relationships? Do you think that your partner will seek out other people and betray you? Jealousy can also be related to your doubts about yourself. Do you think that if other people are interesting and attractive to your partner, this means you are inferior? Do you conclude that if a friend is spending more time with someone else, you are boring? Jealousy can affect your relationship in many ways. Consider whether any of these statements apply to your experience with a partner, family member, friend, or coworker. Having more arguments, withdrawing, clinging, demanding, fighting, avoiding, feeling miserable in the relationship, having sex less often, feeling less affection. As you look at the ways you cope with jealousy, consider Ken's experience. Ken has been dating Louise for 7 months. She was active sexually before she met Ken, and Ken also had a number of girlfriends and sexual experiences. But Ken now worries that he might not be able to trust Louise. As he responded to the jealousy scale and considered the questions about coping, he saw that he believes Juan, whom Louise describes as a friend, is interested in a romantic or sexual relationship with her. He thinks she might be interested in Juan as more than a friend. He is very displeased that she occasionally works with other young men on projects at work. He questions Louise about her text messages with Juan and other men. He checks her Facebook page to see whether there are any pictures of her with any men, especially Juan. He questions her about what she did the previous night. He accuses her of being interested in Juan. He has tried to hack into her email account. He has considered following her. Although nothing has turned up to indicate that Louise is unfaithful, he needs to find out for sure that she can be trusted. Imagining life without jealousy. You may not be as jealous as Ken is, or you may be more jealous. Either way, answering these questions should give you a sense of whether or not jealousy is beginning to take over your life. Now that you have gone through the questions, think about how you would feel if you were feeling less jealous. How would your relationship improve? Would you be able to communicate better if you were less overwhelmed by your jealousy? Would you feel less anxious, less sad, or less regretful of things that you say or do? How would your partner think of you if you were less jealous? This is not to say that you don't have a right to your feelings. The purpose of this chapter is to help you perceive the degree to which these feelings overwhelm you, preoccupy you, and interfere with a range of experiences inside and outside your relationship. In the next chapter, we will look at how your history of relationships and your beliefs about relationships can contribute to jealousy. Chapter 3. Attachment and Commitment. When Steve was a kid, his parents always seemed to be fighting. When Dad would come home, Mom seemed angry, agitated, and worried. "Where have you been?" she would yell. A couple of times, Dad had moved out. Once for a week, another time for 2 months. But he always came back. Steve worried that Dad would never come back. And he worried, too, that if Mom left, then Steve would be alone without anyone to take care of him. He would sit in his room crying and thinking, "They're going to leave me alone." He would often fake being sick so that he could stay home from school to be with Mom. It was where he felt safe. He couldn't stand the idea of sleepaway camp. When Steve was 11, he learned that Dad had been having affairs. Mom would yell at Dad, saying he was a bum and that she couldn't trust him. Like Steve, your history of close relationships may still be affecting you. Experiences from childhood and throughout your life can set the stage for distrust, worry about betrayal, and the feeling that you can't rely on people. If your parents threatened separation, if there was sickness in the family, or death, you may have developed the belief that people you rely on will leave. Your jealousy fears today may reflect emotional injuries from the past. Your attachment style. We differ from one another in how